It's the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, sports with Sunny Delfiette, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the broadcast. I'm Bill Price. Wall of Fire in California.
Zero containment as the wind gusts continue to be a major issue.
That is our top story at noon. Firefighters in California's wine country battling a fast-moving wildfire that's chewed up at least 10,000 acres in Sonoma County. 70-mile-an-hour winds fanning the flame.
It's just super bright, like it's obviously a fire.
It was crazy. We were up there and like the smoke was up to the sky. Like the hill was just smoke.
The power's been shut off for 500,000 customers in Northern California. These folks know the drill after having their lights shut off before.
I think we are a little bit more prepared this time, knowing what may happen and how long it went last time.
This time around, I was prepared. I didn't have to go buy a generator. I already had it in place.
Mandatory evacuations now up in areas north of San Francisco as that wildfire continues to grow. A political wildfire raging in Washington after Republicans tried to get into a room where Democrats were holding their impeachment inquiry yesterday.
We showed up to find out exactly what's going on. We actually wanted to hear the witness. And instead, when he left, Adam Schiff threatened us.
House Minority Whip Steve Scalise led the group into a secure room where the impeachment probe was being conducted. Ohio Republican Jim Jordan says the Democrat leading the investigation is chasing shadows. Jordan demanding that Adam Schiff spill the beans on the whistleblower and his investigation.
We're so frustrated. They reached a boiling point, and these guys marched in and said, we want to know what's going on because we represent 750,000 people back home in our districts, and they'd like to know what's going on because you guys are trying to take out a president 13 months before an election.
California Democrat Eric Swalwell calls the GOP effort a political sideshow.
They're doing this because this is what the guilty do. Innocent people cooperate with investigations. Innocent people follow the rules of the House.
Swalwell says the closed-door depositions are necessary for their investigation. A new Quinnipiac poll shows Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren leading the field of Democratic presidential hopefuls.
Opened up a lead in the Democratic primary race with 28%, former Vice President Joe Biden at 21%.
Pollster Mary Snow, Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders in third place, according to Quinnipiac, with 15% of the vote. A rare honor for a congressional giant, the body of Maryland Democrat Elijah Cummings lying in state at the U.S. Capitol today. Here's House Speaker Nancy Pelosi.
I have called him our North Star, our guide to a better future for our children. Elijah has said that our children are our living messengers to a future we will never see. For the children, he wanted a future worthy of their aspirations and true to the values of America.
Elijah Cummings died last week at the age of 68. One day after President Trump praised a ceasefire in Syria, his top Pentagon official facing U.S. critics today in Brussels. Defense Secretary Mark Esper defended the president's decision to pull U.S. troops out of northern Syria.
Everybody has said, well, you could have threatened them with aircraft, or you could have just kept them there in place. If I had done that, I may be in a situation today trying to explain to the American people why I sacrificed American soldiers.
Esper's challenge now is to convince allies in Europe that the fight against ISIS in Syria must continue even after the U.S. pulled out. British police say the 39 bodies found in a refrigerated tractor trailer in Essex, England, were Chinese nationals. The big rig came from Belgium.
Officials in Belgium, they say that they are currently investigating as well to try to figure out the origin of that container. They're also trying to figure out when those people actually got inside and who was responsible for putting them there.
A 25-year-old man from Northern Ireland has been arrested in connection to the human smuggling ring. In 3 years, automatic braking technology will be standard on every new vehicle in America, but some drivers who have that technology right now say it's got a mind of its own. This woman owns a Nissan Rogue.
I was driving down a four-lane highway going about 55, and it completely came to a complete stop.
Transportation analyst Chris Van Cleef.
Nissan, in a statement, acknowledges that some Nissan Rogue drivers may experience false activation on unique road conditions like certain railroad crossing bridges and low-hanging traffic lights, but it says it's committed to the safety and security of its customers. It has made a free software update available at dealerships.
A lot of drivers with the technology have turned it off out of fear that their vehicles will suddenly stop while going down the road. They're halfway there.
It's unbelievable. We never thought we'd sweep in Houston. It's great.
Oh, it's going to be over in two more games. We got this.
The Washington Nationals beating the Houston Astros last night in Houston, taking a 2-0 lead in the World Series. Relief pitcher Sean Doolittle.
We're really happy with where we're at, but we got to keep going.
The series resumes tomorrow night in our nation's capital. Still to come this Thursday, early voting this weekend in New York, Operation Safe Stop in Pennsylvania, and Iron Sharpens Iron in Rochester.
Good afternoon to all. All is pretty quiet on the weather scene locally, but we do have a shower or two in the forecast over the next 24 hours. I'll talk more about that and the thoughts about the weekend weather coming up. We'll see you in 10 minutes.
All righty, Kevin Williams checking the stories, making news where you live in New York and Pennsylvania, Thursday, October 24th, taking his appeal to federal court. Family Life's Brandon Dixon has the very latest on Jerry Sandusky.
The former Penn State assistant football coach is asking a federal court to do what state courts so far have not, and either grant him a new trial or release him from prison. The 75-year-old has filed a petition that repeats many of the arguments he's made in state courts about why his 45-count child sexual abuse conviction should be overturned. His claims of a tainted trial in 2012 include a prosecutor's reference to jurors that Sandusky did not testify, that his former lawyers didn't have enough time to prepare, and that the legal team made several mistakes. Sandusky, who faces up to 60 years behind bars, is also being resentenced next month in county court. Brandon Dixon, Family Life News.
Thank you, Brandon. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo hinting at holding that special election to fill the 27th congressional seat on April 28th of next year. That's the same day as New York's presidential primary.
I think the turnout will be very high for the presidential election. Tends to be highest in presidential elections. This presidential election, I think, is going to have a lot of interest because the politics is very intense about it.
Cuomo says he doesn't like to hold a lot of elections because they're so expensive, but he also understands the longer that seat stays empty, the worse things are for Western New York.
I don't like to leave a seat open because we lose a voice, we lose a proponent, whether it's a Republican or a Democrat. I want somebody fighting for Western New York.
The 27th congressional seat has remained vacant ever since Republican Chris Collins stepped down after pleading guilty to federal insider trading charges. Early voting starts this weekend in New York, but not everyone's on board. Jason McGuire at New Yorkers for Constitutional Freedoms.
It allows 10 days for people to bus in people to certain districts to be able to basically have a bus ministry driving people to vote. And we're concerned about that, particularly a lot of these city areas to where there could be a huge Democratic turnout. And I think that was the core of early voting, was buying the Democratic Party more time to work on busing people in.
McGuire thinks the only places that'll see higher turnout as a result of early voting are those urban areas that tend to vote for Democrats. This is the first year of early voting in New York. And again, it starts on Saturday. Governor Cuomo signing a law that bans not-for-profit profits from endorsing political candidates.
The governor says he signed the bill to prevent President Trump from protecting tax-exempt groups that engage in political activity. Cuomo says our democracy must be protected from what he called unjustified interference. The bill codifies the decades-old Johnson Amendment, which bans nonprofits from engaging in political campaigns. 2 years ago, the president signed an executive order to loosen the restrictions of the Johnson Amendment in the name of free speech and religious freedom. Bob Price, Family Life News.
Thank you, Bob. Pro-lifers in Pennsylvania predict the state's abortion rate could be cut in half if fetal heartbeat legislation
or ever to become law.
We have 30,000 abortions typically every year in Pennsylvania. 12,000 of those are done after the heartbeat could be detected in that 6 to 7 week time period. So this would be a substantial benefit to protecting human life if this bill were to become law.
Michael Gere at the Pennsylvania Family Institute.
When you have a pregnancy, there are two heartbeats. There are two human lives, two distinct human beings there, and they deserve protection.
This week, state lawmakers in Harrisburg introduced a pair of bills to ban abortions after a fetal heartbeat is detected. Governor Tom Wolf has already promised to veto a decision on New York's controversial green light law, expected by the middle of next month. The measure passed earlier this year in Albany. It allows an illegal immigrant in New York to get a driver's license.
For me, I will go on the record right now, and I will say I will not, and I said this numerous times, issue driver's licenses to people who are here illegally.
Erie County Clerk Mickey Kearns filed the lawsuit against the state of New York. Governor Cuomo says the state attorney general has already reviewed the law, and they feel pretty good they'll get the outcome they want.
The attorney general reviewed the bill before. The attorney general said that she was confident of victory, that she could sustain the law. And this is not anything that wasn't predicted.
A recent Siena College poll shows New Yorkers split when it comes to the green light law. 48% for it, 47% opposed. A Williamsville, New York family taking legal action after a crash involving a state trooper killed a 78-year-old woman. The accident happened last winter at an intersection near the Buffalo-Niagara International Airport.
It's our claim that the trooper was going at least 10 miles above the speed limit, and because of that, he could not stop in time.
Attorney John Comerford, representing the family of Joan Gosdelsky.
We feel once we show our side of this story, that reasonable minds will conclude this accident was absolutely avoidable.
A trooper was driving an unmarked vehicle and has never been charged. Gosdelsky died 2 weeks after the accident from brain injuries sustained in that wreck. Operation Safe Stop in Pennsylvania. State police out in full force, looking for motorists who illegally pass a stopped school bus. Those caught doing it face a $250 fine, could lose their license for 2 months. Police say the crime happens about 50,000 times a day in PA. Governor Cuomo announcing the first round of $84 million to help the flooding woes along Lake Ontario.
A total of 43 projects are planned in Monroe and Wayne counties, both of which suffered significant damage over the last few years because of higher water levels along Lake Ontario. Cities, towns, and villages in affected shoreline areas developed and submitted their own plans to prevent flooding. The state DEC announced earlier this month that it will sue the International Joint Commission. That's the body responsible for monitoring lake outflows. Many have criticized the IJC's Plan 2014, but the commission claims it's not responsible for creating flooding conditions and says it will stay in place for now. Jeremy Miller, Family Life News.
Thank you, Jeremy. The Pennsylvania Game Commission wants hunters to be on the lookout for a rare mosquito-borne disease this fall. They're urging hunters to take precautions against mosquito bites and to report any dead or strange acting wild animals. It's all because of eastern equine encephalitis that's been documented in wildlife and in livestock in Pennsylvania the past few weeks. A men's conference coming to Rochester, New York next month. It's called Iron Sharpens Iron, and it happens Saturday, November 2nd, the Grace Assembly of God.
I think men have lost their place, particularly in our cultural context right now, that wants to pit men against women or somehow denigrate men.
The keynote speaker is Dr. Crawford Loritz. He recently sat down with Family Life's Bob Price.
Does this kind of pick up where Promise Keepers left off?
Yeah, it sort of augments it. It kind of helps to sustain what Promise Keepers initiated. It is sort of like a smaller version of a Promise Keepers emphasis.
Dr. Loritz says in today's post-Christian culture, masculinity has become a dirty word.
There's little to no positive affirmation in the culture concerning what Christians are teaching their children at home. We see a bit of aggressive hostility. And so we've got to create in Christian families a strong enough positive godly culture that would be more attractive and more sustaining than a culture that our kids are walking out into every day.
You can learn more about the event in Rochester, New York by logging on to ironsharpensiron.net.
Well, the Nationals are halfway there. Can they do it? Sunny time. Two-minute drill.
Yeah, we start in Houston, tied at two in the seventh inning. Kurt Suzuki up to bat for the Nationals, and
here's one hammered into left. Off the bat of Suzuki and gone.
That solo homer would open up the floodgates as the Nationals would score six in the seventh inning to go on to crush the Astros 12-3. That means the Nationals have a 2-0 series lead. Wow, says Nationals manager Dave Martinez.
I wish I was a betting man, but I'm not. I don't really believe in that stuff. What I believe in is hard work, being consistent in what we do, and sticking to our process.
Washington hosting Game 3 tomorrow. Former New York Yankee manager Joe Girardi heading down the turnpike to take over as skipper of the Philadelphia Phillies. Girardi replaces Gabe Kapler. ESPN reports Girardi also interviewed with the New York Mets. The 55-year-old led the Yankees for 10 seasons, including World Series championship in 2009. To the NBA, Kyrie Irving poured in a game-high 50 points in his Nets debut. That's a new league record for the most points scored in a debut with the new team. But the Nets fall to the Timberwolves in overtime, 127-126.
The job wasn't done, you know, so that 50 just goes into just another few numbers that it holds value, but not really when you don't get a win. So you want to come out and play the game just with a rhythm.
The Nets lose. The Sixers win. Ben Simmons had 24 points, 9 assists, and 8 boards. Sixers beat the Celtics 107-93. In San Antonio, the Spurs beat the Knicks 120-111 in the season opener. R.J. Barrett, the second overall pick in the draft, scored 21 for the Knicks in his NBA debut. Nikola Vucevic led the way with 21 points and 9 rebounds. The Magic knocked off the Cavaliers 94-85. On the ice, Penguins fall to Tampa Bay 3-2. Thursday Night Football, Minnesota. Tonight, Vikings hosting the Redskins. For Family Life, I'm Sonny Dolphia.
Thank you, Sonny. Still to come on this Thursday edition of the Noon Report, honoring the life of Elijah Cummings, stopping a wall of fire in California, and rats driving cars. Yeah, that happened too.
The idea that we should tear down our prisons may sound ridiculous, but a growing movement is pushing for it. Here's why. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez successfully grabbed another headline last week by tweeting that Americans should have a real conversation about abolishing prisons. Though she did later walk back this bone toss to her far-left supporters, the prison abolition movement isn't as niche as you think. At their annual meeting this year, the Democratic Socialist of America passed a resolution to start a working group on the topic. In April, the ACLU told the New York Times it wants to defund the prison system. The idea behind this radical proposal is this: if we could just get our systems right, our healthcare system, education system, welfare system, well, we wouldn't need any prisons. If everyone just had proper healthcare, great teachers, and all the money they'd want or need, no one would commit any crimes. It's kind of like suggesting we should abolish doctors because if everyone just had equal access to leafy greens and the flu shot, no one would get sick. Obviously, part of the prison abolition's movement's strategy is to shock and to turn heads towards these other issues. But such a proposal is also a particularly obtuse expression of utopianism. Chuck Colson defined utopianism as the myth that human nature can be perfected by government. Utopianism has at least two core flaws. First, it completely misunderstands the human condition. Because human beings are corrupted by sin, we gravitate toward greed, selfishness, and pride without the redirection of the Holy Spirit. In fact, we do this without help of any kind. Our sin is not society's fault or caused by poverty. And today's prison abolitionists fail to acknowledge the scores of men and women who have had every conceivable privilege and then went on to commit crimes anyway. Wealthy Wall Streeters commit white-collar crimes. America's Ivy League campuses, arguably the very seats of privilege, are plagued by sexual assault. Even some perpetrators of mass shootings came from stable, affluent families. A second problem with utopianism is that any attempt to create this fantasy world where no one commits a crime means advocating for government control on an unprecedented scale. Any government with that much power would quickly end any illusion of utopia. Every utopian project that's been tried so far has failed. Many were led by characters like Stalin and Mao and Castro, international revolutionaries who turned almost cartoonishly fast from men of the people into tyrants. History teaches teaches at best, presuming to create a perfect system will ultimately degrade into power grabs and human misery. Because of the accurate way the Bible describes the human condition, we can expect prisons to continue as a necessary part of society until Christ makes all things new. In Matthew 25, Jesus instructs his followers to visit those in prison. An effective prison system will keep people safe, will communicate the consequences of wrongdoing to the larger culture, and will work to return the imprisoned to our communities with better means and accountability by which to govern their own fallen impulses. And let me add this. Because we believe the incarcerated are human beings made in the image of God and that restoration is possible, the Colson Center stands with Prison Fellowship and others who support criminal justice reforms that address the very real problems in our culture of over-incarceration and sentencing disparity. But the idea of abolishing prison is an unrealistic and yet very real distraction from the necessary conversations we need to be having about how to handle crime in our communities. For Breakpoint, I'm John Stone Street.
21 minutes past the hour of the weekend, almost here.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. Well, the weekend is fast approaching. It looks like it's going to start on a fine note with some sunshine. But a storm system out of the Gulf States will be approaching, increasing the clouds Saturday, yielding rain Saturday night and Sunday. In the meantime, for this afternoon, a pretty good helping of sunshine across eastern and central Pennsylvania. Elsewhere, clouds and sunshine, and a little more in the way of cloud cover across northwest Pennsylvania, western New York, with a shower or two. High temperatures, upper 50s to the middle 60s. A fair amount of cloudiness tonight and tomorrow with a stray shower. We dip into the 40s tonight, 50s tomorrow. Saturday, some sun with increasing clouds, high in the 50s. Look for some rain Saturday night into Sunday.
Thank you, Kevin Williams. If you're just joining us, here are some of the stories we're following for you today, Thursday, October 24th. The late Maryland Democrat Elijah Cummings being honored at the U.S. Capitol today, his body lying in state Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell.
There are some people who come to Washington because they're ambitious to leave their hometowns. And then there are people who want to come to Washington precisely because they will never leave their hometowns behind. Elijah Cummings did not just represent Baltimore. He embodied it.
Elijah Cummings passed away last week at the age of 68. Massive wildfire ripping through Northern California. At least 10,000 acres have been scorched north of San Francisco. Correspondent Jonathan Vigliotti.
The wind gusts here picking up at times to 76 miles per hour, and we have watched over the past few hours as this entire hillside has become engulfed in flames. In fact, we were in an area higher up on this hill where the flames ripped around the corner so fast we had to evacuate. The smoke so thick we couldn't even escape it in our car.
PG&E has cut power to some 200,000 customers on the heels of forced outages 2 weeks ago.
We understand the hardship caused by these shutoffs and the safety issues that it brings with it, but we also understand the heartbreak and devastation of catastrophic wildfire. Those losses are forever, and we're determined to do everything in our power to prevent them.
That's PG&E President Bill Johnson. A new Quinnipiac poll shows Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren leading the field of Democratic White House hopefuls. She's got 28% of the vote.
She actually was down slightly from last week's poll. What it reflects is a 6-point slip for Joe Biden since a week ago.
That's pollster Mary Snow. Defense Secretary Mark Esper weighing in on the situation in Syria.
Turkey put us all in a very terrible situation. I mean, I think the incursion was unwarranted.
Esper says he's cautiously optimistic about the ceasefire announced yesterday by President Trump. The defense secretary says it's up to Turkey to live up to the agreement.
Turkey's unwarranted incursion into northern Syria jeopardizes the gains made there in recent years.
Esper in Brussels today trying to get a game plan from NATO on how to continue the fight against ISIS. Well, the Washington Nationals are halfway to their first ever World Series title.
Absolutely amazing. It's wonderful.
I like the idea of a sweep. Yeah.
The Nationals beat the Astros last night in Houston, taking a 2-0 series lead. The Fall Classic resumes tomorrow night in Washington, D.C. We are coming up on 25 minutes past the hour. Thursday afternoon, you're plugged into the Noon Report on Family Life.
This is
is Faith Under Fire. Each Thursday on Family Life, we give voice to religious battlegrounds in this nation. I'm your host, Tracy Lynn. With us today, youth leader Mel Walker. We're talking about statistics and the so-called decline in Christianity. The Pew Research Center has just published its report on the changing landscape of religion in the U.S., claiming a 12% drop in Christianity over the last decade. There were interesting things in there, by the way, Mel. For example, it broke people down into categories including age. So in that case, millennials saw the biggest drop of Christians.
Right.
Between people having a college education and not, college graduates tended to no longer claim to be Christians. In the U.S., it was the Northeast that saw 15% of people drop out. And as far as political parties, 17% of those that claim a Democratic leaning versus 7% of Republicans.
Notice that, right?
Yeah, I thought that was kind of a little interesting snapshot. So, Mel, do you think there's a difference between congregational Christians, those who mostly identify as Christians with attendance to a specific church, and convictional Christians who tend to be more rooted to carry out the teachings of Christ?
I do think there's a difference, and here's part of the reason. My generation and generations following me, we have done a poor job at equating Christianity to community. I think that what has happened is that the rugged individualist in America and Western culture has said we can do this on our own. And I don't think that's ever what Christ intended. I think what Christ intended is for our Christian life to be a part of community. I think in scriptures that goes all the way back to the Jewish culture, the whole family being together, Deuteronomy 6 and others. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God. And then he talks about the family, but the whole nation was involved. And then, like in our church, we just studied Ephesians, and Ephesians talks about the family of God, and that word family is more like a family of families. It's more like a clan. And so I think that what we have done is done a poor job at equating or building Christianity around a community. And so some of the research also is people in America have said that the people that say that they're regular church attenders actually go to church only once a month or less than that. So I think in our busy cultures, we haven't said that church is imperative for the Christian life.
Yeah, the decline in numbers, the Pew Research said the people that attend weekly, it's now at 31%, down from 37% 10 years ago. Do you think people are seeking entertainment when they come to church, or are we simply missing the mark when it comes to sharing the message of Jesus with others, including inviting them to join us at church?
I think, Tracy, what we have done is develop an entertainment. When the church became attractional, and I think that there were models around the country and around culture who did that and said that I have to attract people on Sunday. Well, when we did that, we created that entertainment philosophy that says there has to be a show on Sunday mornings. Maybe my generation or older generations did a poor job at saying that Christianity is a commitment. Like, for instance, we went from having on Sunday school, Sunday morning, youth group, Sunday evening service, Wednesday night services, to basically a lot of churches have one service on Sunday morning. And are we really producing a generation of fully devoted followers of Christ? Talking about research, one of the new books that came out just less than a month ago from Barna Research is called Faith for Exiles. And that's a study that they contacted people who stayed in church, and young people, millennials, and Gen Z who stayed in church, and they said they crave deep theological, doctrinal truth, that when the church has become entertainment-driven, then why do it? Why commit to that? So I think it's time to raise the bar and get back to the scriptures. That's my opinion on all of this.
Yeah, I think you're right. You've worked with youth for years. Would you just share a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, I have been working with young people for over 40 years. In fact, I'm still a youth pastor. I'm 65 years old. I still work with a church in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, and I lead a ministry that's called Vision for Youth. And then one of the things that I've done in my life is I've written 12 different books. All of them have something to do with youth ministry. And the one that has to do a lot of what we're talking about today is Going On for God, encouraging the next generation to grow up and go on for God, to try to be proactive. How do we keep our kids in church and keep them living for God over the long haul?
That's Mel Walker with Vision for Youth. I'm Tracy Lynn, Family Life News.
Thank you, Tracy. Faith Under Fire comes your way every Thursday during the Noon Report. You can also find it online anytime at fln.org/podcast.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. Well, the weekend is fast approaching. It looks like it's going to start on a fine note with some sunshine, but a storm system out of the Gulf States will be approaching, increasing the clouds Saturday, yielding rain Saturday night and Sunday. In the meantime, for this afternoon, a pretty good helping of sunshine across eastern and central Pennsylvania. Elsewhere, clouds and sunshine, and a little more in the way of cloud cover across northwest Pennsylvania, western New York, with a shower or two. High temperatures, upper 50s to the middle 60s. A fair amount of cloudiness tonight and tomorrow with a stray shower. We dip into the 40s tonight, 50s tomorrow. Saturday, some sun with increasing clouds, high in the 50s. Look for some rain Saturday night into Sunday.
Getting it done at the Weather Center today. We appreciate it. Kevin Williams finally at noon. It may be hard to believe, but rats, they can drive cars. Not a full-size car, but a tiny one. Scientists in Virginia designed the car by putting a clear plastic food container on the wheels. They wanted to test if rats could master such a task, and it worked. They say 17 rats drove in a specified area and were awarded with treats. What's more, the team says the rats seemed relaxed and less stressed. Researchers hope this will eventually replace current maze tests to study brain conditions like Parkinson's. That is the world we live in for a Thursday. Thanks for coming along. I'm Bill Price, Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.